Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Dana Balaba Girvanadari Gopi Dana Balaba Girvanadari Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Damuna Tira Vanacharya Damuna Tira Vanacharya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Dana Balaba Girvanadari Gopi Dana Balaba Girvanadari Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Damuna Tira Vanacharya Damuna Tira Vanacharya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Dana Balaba Girvanadari Gopi Dana Balaba Girvanadari Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Damuna Tira Vanacharya Damuna Tira Vanacharya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Dana Balaba Girvanadhari. Kopidana Balava Girvanadhari. Dasodhananana Braja Dhanaranjana. Dasodhananana Braja Dhanaranjana. Damunatiha Vanachari. Damunatiha Vanachari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjaviari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjaviari. Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Parabhidakacharya, Asatara, Sadhu, Shri, Shriman, His Divine Grace, Shalasi, Bhaktivedanta, Swamiraj, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai, Kaur Premanande, all glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Garanga, Namo Om Vishnu, Vidaya, Krishna, Prasthai, Vudai, Srimate, Bhaktivedanta, Swamiraj, Namane, Namaste, Sarasvatam, Deve, Gauravani, Vajarne, Nirvise sa shunyavadi paskatya de sadarne. Om Aganatvanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanyamanovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutle Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shigaro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigaram Vaishnavam Sha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakam Svitam Sha E Krishna Karna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchena Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Prishubhanu Suta Devi Ranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sinibhivacha Patitanam Vavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 13, Nature, the Enjoyer and Consciousness, Text Number 22. Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunkte Prakriti Jangunan Karnam Guna Sangosya Sarasadyoni Janmasu Purusha, the living entity. Prakriti sta, being situated in the material energy. He certainly bhunkte enjoys. Prakriti jan, produced by the material nature. Gunan, the modes of nature. Karnam, the cause. Gunasanga, the association with the modes of nature. Asya, of the living entity. sad asad, in good and bad, yoni, species of life, janmasu, in births. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The living entity of material nature thus follows ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil amongst various species. Purport. This verse is very important for an understanding of how the living entities transmigrate from one body to another. It is explained in the second chapter that the living entity is transmigrating from one body to another just as one changes dress. This change of dress is due to his attachment to material existence. As long as he is captivated by this false manifestation, he has to continue transmigrating from one body to another. Due to his desire to lord it over material nature, he is put into such undesirable circumstances. Under the influence of material desire, the entity is sometimes born, sometimes as a demigod, sometimes as a man, sometimes as a beast, as a bird, as a worm, as an aquatic, as a saintly man, as a bug. This is going on. In all cases, the living entity thinks himself to be the master of his circumstances, yet he is under the influence of material nature. How he is put into such different bodies is explained here. It is due to association with the different modes of nature. One has to rise, therefore, above the three material modes and become situated in the transcendental position. This is called Krishna consciousness. Unless one is situated in Krishna consciousness, his material consciousness will oblige him to transfer from one body to another because he has material desires since time immemorial. But he has to change that conception. That change can be effected only by hearing from authoritative sources. The best example is here. Arjuna is hearing the science of God from Krishna. The living entity, if he submits to this hearing process, will lose his long-cherished desire to dominate material nature, and gradually and proportionally as he reduces his long desire to dominate, he comes to enjoy spiritual happiness. And a Vedic mantra has said that as he becomes learned in association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he proportionally relishes his eternal blissful life. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jangunan karna guna sangosya sarasa dyoni janmasu. The living entity in material nature thus follows ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil amongst various species. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Budhaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutun Deve Kauravani Vajarne Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Paskatya De Sadarne. The beginning of this chapter, Lord Krishna has analyzed the field of activities of living entities, the living entity, and ultimately the Supreme Soul. And he said, iti kshetram tata jnanam jayam choktum samasata madbhakta etad vigyaya madbhava yopapadyate. Thus the field of activities, the body, knowledge, and the knowable have been ceremonially described by me. Only my devotees can understand this thoroughly and thus attain to my nature. By understanding how the material nature is working, it is possible to become free from our entanglement. Although it appears that our entanglement is something very deep, but in one sense, our entanglement is only superficial. It is due to our lack of knowledge. Due to ignorance, we desire the wrong things. And because we desire the wrong things, we get entangled in one body after another. But by hearing, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, by hearing from authority and taking to the process by which one can hear perfectly, hearing implies that we actually, by hearing, understand. So not only hearing, but by according to our best ability, if we hear and according to what we've understood, try to apply that within our lives, under proper guidance, then the result is that our ability to understand increases. And as we understand things properly, then automatically real knowledge and detachment follows. And Krishna says in the next verse, in verse 20, after the 19, that Prakritim Purusham Chaiva Vidyanadi Ubhavapi Vikaram Chagunam Chaiva Vidhi Prakriti Sambhavan. The material nature and living entities should be understood to be beginningless. The transformations of the modes of matter are products of material nature. In other words, or as Krishna says, Karya Karya Kartarive Hetu Prakriti Ushite Purusha Sukadukanam Voktarive Hetu Ushite. Nature is said to be the cause of all material causes and effects, whereas living entity is the cause of the various sufferings and enjoyments in this world. Here a division is made between the living entity, the soul, and his experience in the material energy. Krishna has explained many times in the past, the material nature is manifesting itself in different ways according to both the activity and the desires of living entities. Of course, we can't separate completely desire from activity because desire and activity is more or less a product of desire. But there are different varieties of desire, and some desires are manifested themselves as activities and others just remain on the mental platform. In any case, the material nature is working under Krishna's direction and it produces different varieties of circumstances to the living entities. And some of these are under the mode of ignorance, some under the mode of passion, and some under the mode of goodness. And generally they're all mixed up. And some of these in the mode of ignorance may be considered to be bad, and some of them may be considered to be good in the mode of goodness. But in any case, the living entity, he is the cause of his various sufferings and enjoyments in the world. When we say something is enjoyable, we more or less apply that it's in some experience in the mode of goodness. And when we say it's not so enjoyable, we say it's full of anxiety, or full of distress and modes of ignorance and passion. Because, as Krishna will explain, yata prakashayat yekam kritsnam lokam imam ravi kshetra kshetri tata kritsnam prakashayati bharata. Just like the sun is situated in one place but illuminates the entire universe with sunlight, so the soul situated in one place in the body illuminates the entire body by consciousness. So according to the body that we have, and according to our circumstances that we find ourselves in, we say that now we're in a very nice situation, I have a very nice body, etc. And another time we may say, well, my body's not so good, I'm suffering. But actually everyone is suffering in the material world because material nature means being in contact with the modes of nature means different varieties of suffering. It is simply illusion to think that I am happy and other persons are suffering. Actually, everyone is suffering. It is simply the degree that we're suffering. Certainly, one in the mode of goodness suffers less than one who's in the mode of passion. And one who's in the mode of passion, he suffers less than one in the mode of ignorance, or he's more aware of his suffering. But a person in the mode of goodness, he should know that actually the material nature is nothing but suffering. If he's actually in knowledge, then he knows his duty is to get out of the material nature. That should be the direction of his activities, of his desires. When in ignorance, he thinks that he can enjoy sense gratification, and when in mode of passion, he works hard to try to acquire a better standard of sense gratification. When in ignorance, he enjoys any type of standard of sense gratification. He doesn't care. And when in passion, he works for a better standard of sense gratification. And when in goodness, realizes that no standard of sense gratification will actually make one happy. Therefore, one should try to come to goodness, because in goodness, one can understand things properly, and sincerely, with all determination, take the devotional service. But in any case, whatever one takes, whether it be one body or another, as it says here, sad asad yoni janmisu, if one takes the sad means auspicious, and asad means inauspicious. We may think, well, if I take the body of a demigod, that's very auspicious, and if I take the body of a worm, that's very inauspicious. And in one sense it is, because in the body of a worm, it's very difficult to understand Krishna consciousness. But if one takes the body of a demigod and he forgets Krishna, he's sooner or later going to transmigrate through all the different species of life anyhow. So it is simply, he may temporarily be in the body of a demigod, but after some time he'll transmigrate and he'll attain a lower species of life and have to suffer in that species. In any case, everyone, especially on this planet, suffers the same way, birth, death, old age, and disease. If one is born as a king in the womb of in someone's womb, and one is born as a dog in someone's womb, it's not that the king is enjoying more than the dog. They're both suffering equally. Or if one is born poor in a poor person's womb, and one is born in a very rich person's womb, still they both suffer. Similarly, death, if one is dying, it is not that the poor person, his death is less pleasant than the rich person's. Or if one is diseased, it is not that only poor people become diseased and rich people, they don't suffer from disease. But actually everyone has to suffer from the major problems of material existence. Other problems, whether one rides around in a very big car or a small car, etc., whether one eats very elegantly or eats less, these things are not a very big thing. But out of ignorance, people try to improve their material situation, thinking that they're actually going to make a success out of their life because they're going to die rich rather than poor. But they suffer more, probably, due to attachment. So here it says that one has to understand things properly, because by understanding things properly, we can change our consciousness. Livianti is actually different from the body. And if he tries to understand things properly, by hearing from the proper authorities, and if he desires to change things, as he'll explain here in the next verse, Upadrasta namanta cha varta bhokta maheshvara paramatmeti cha pyukto dehesmin purusha para. Yet in this body there's another, a transcendental enjoyer who exists, who is the Lord, who exists as the supreme proprietor, who exists as the overseer and permitter, and is known as the super soul. So there's actually another person with us. His name is Krishna, known as Paramatma or Antaryami, and he knows exactly what we're desiring. Therefore, if we desire to advance in Krishna consciousness, he fulfills that desire. And if we desire to forget him, to be involved, to enjoy this material body in some gross or subtle way, he gives us that facility. And it's all due to our attachment. Krishna is neutral. He fulfills our desire. The example is just like two friendly birds in a tree. One bird is eating the tree, the fruits of the tree, and the other is simply watching. So Krishna is not particularly happy over our being in the material world, but he acts neutrally. He gives us what we want according to our desire. But if we're trained by hearing, and if we're actually sincere, because that's all ultimately up to us, if we're actually sincere to become Krishna conscious, then Krishna helps us in every respect. But Krishna knows us, therefore we can't cheat him. We can't pretend that I'm actually a great devotee, but as Krishna knows exactly where we're at. He's the proverbial Santa. Santa Claus is the perverted reflection of the super soul. He's saying he knows if you're good or bad, so be good for goodness sake. But Krishna knows even better than Santa Claus. Therefore, it's advised, because basically, in conditioned life, we're more or less crazy. We're attached to so many crazy desires because we're in ignorance. Therefore, we can't think that actually I'm a nice person, but because I'm so nice, I'll take the Krishna consciousness and I'll become, you know, and I'll, this simply be the last decoration on an already nice person. It'll be the crown jewel on my hat. But actually, we're all crazy. We have so many crazy desires. We're completely bewildered by identification with this body. We're infatuated by material existence. We actually believe most of the propaganda that we've been brainwashed with since we were born about the glories of this present modern civilization. We have a tendency to forgive the faults of modern civilization, such as their slaughtering animals and advertising all kinds of sinful activities, engaging in all sinful activities. And we respect their glorious activities, their glorious achievements, like building atomic bombs and whatever else. We think that we're living in a very auspicious time. This is called brainwashing. Of course, it's probably, as Prabhupada said, it's a little bit more civilized than previously, at least in the times Western previous civilization, where they used to take the religious people and throw them to the lions. It's a little bit more civilized than that. At least it's an advantage for us, since we're in the minority, and there's, in any case, but as in terms of relative advancement, it's actually not a very advanced civilization. People are in ignorance. They're being trained in ignorance. They're being molded in such a way as to ensure that they'll maybe take birth in this country, in Belgium, but not as a human being. We can see that there's a lot of Belgium living entities, but very few of them are living human beings. Just like in this property, there are a few devotees, but there are millions and billions of blades of grass and insects and trees and other species of life who are also Belgium, who are also attached to Belgium. Maybe they don't identify as strongly with Belgium as we do, or with whatever nationality body we have. But they think that they're also in a progressive grass civilization or whatever else. That they actually have a nice situation here and plenty of water and et cetera, et cetera. So we should understand that most of civilization probably is heading in the wrong direction and will probably achieve their goal, which is to take birth in Belgium again as a blade of grass or a tree or a bird or an insect, because that's where more or less that's what they want. They're heading in that direction. But in the midst of this mad rush to go to hell or lower than hell, still one should try to be a little sane and try to mold one's life and therefore mold one's consciousness and therefore mold one's understanding of things, mold one's desire, ultimately directed towards something auspicious, namely pure devotional service to Krishna, and so that one won't be misdirected by the wrong activities, by the wrong understanding of things, by the wrong desires, attachment to material of the mind that's feeding us all kinds of ideas, being attached to them. One won't be misled by these things, and instead one will become eligible to make some progress towards some auspicious goal, which is ultimately to get out of material existence, at least into spiritual consciousness, become Krishna conscious. So that even if one comes back to the material world again, if one is in Krishna consciousness, then there's no real loss, because one is actually himself personally, as a soul, is making progress. He could do it. Why couldn't he do it? Generally, Krishna is neutral. If you pray to him, he can help you. But if there's no he generally doesn't interfere. For a devotee, a pure devotee, he completely interferes because he takes full control. But for one who's not a pure devotee, it depends on one's combination of factors. You surrender completely. You give him control. if we don't interfere, just like the mind is feeding us desires, and we get attached to the desires. Therefore, Krishna is, he generally doesn't interfere. So if we give up our attachment to the desires that are filtering through our mind and desire only to serve Krishna, what he wants, then the result is that he takes full charge. Otherwise, he doesn't. Then he would be interfering with our minute independence. So he doesn't do that. Taking also. It's just the nature of the spiritual world. You give and receive. Why shouldn't you accept people's love? It's only the only thing to give on that platform is love. Not that, oh, I'm only going to give love and someone's giving me back love, you know, let me block it. I don't want to take anything from anyone.
No, but so it's not making endeavor.
Yeah, of course, there's no need. Just like if you walk into a place, if you jump into the ocean, into the water, you don't have to make any endeavor to get wet. There's no. It's easy. So if you merge yourself into an ocean of love, there's no. You don't have to make any endeavor at all. There's no. Even if you wanted to make endeavor, it's ridiculous. There's no need to do it. You mean selfishness?
Yeah.
Oh, because we don't know what our self-interest is. We're just direct. Because by nature, every living entity has some self-interest. But he doesn't know what his real self-interest is. How can we give up our self-interest completely? Unless we find out, when we become Krishna conscious, we find out that our self is included within Krishna. Then Krishna is more than our own self-interest. So we give up our self-interest completely in Krishna consciousness, we find out that we have a greater self-interest than our own selves. But lacking Krishna consciousness, therefore we only know of our own self, that's all. But if you're going to live with someone, eternally, it's going to be with yourself. You can't. Therefore, we're self-interested. When we find out about Krishna, we'll be more interested in him than even in our own self. Anything else? Okay. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Kijai, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Gaura Premanande.